Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Hank.
What's happening?
It's nice to see you over
Great
there.
Great to be back. Thank you.
Hey, so it's summertime. Do you have any travel plans lined up?
Well, if you would have asked me that question over the last 4 or 5 years, I would have said no. But as a matter of fact, I do have big travel plans. I'm going to be taking an entire month off, the month of August, which I've never done before.
No, that's a long time.
It's huge. I mean, in the past, I've taken, you know, weekend trips to Santa Barbara or head to San Francisco for a couple of days or Vegas. But this is a big one, and I'm giddy with excitement.
Yeah, and for you, I can see that you're almost jumping out of your chair. I mean, you rarely get this excited.
Yeah.
And are you going to tell people where you're going for the month, or is this a secret
journey? Sure, no, I can tell you.
Okay.
I'm just between you and me.
Okay.
We're going to, my wife and I are flying to Rotterdam, in the Netherlands, and then we're taking a transatlantic cruise back to Boston with stops in Ireland and Greenland and Iceland and Scotland and Newfoundland and a couple more in Canada, Halifax, Nova Scotia, and it ends up in Boston, and then we fly home from Boston.
Right. You may never come back.
Never know.
This could free you out into the universe in ways that you never imagined. I mean, in some ways, this feels more than a vacation. This feels like a journey of the soul.
Yeah.
And for both you and your wife, too, to get to know each other in ways outside of your day-to-day routines and work and life as it is.
And I'm already dreading the long plane flight home, which is, that's an ongoing problem with me. I'm always not looking forward to the end of things, but to the point of obsession.
Right, and not being able to just focus on the momentary pleasure that you're in.
Like, only 4 more days. Oh, no, only 3 more days. And then got to go home tomorrow.
And I think that's a challenge for a lot of people just in life in general, that we're never in that present space. We're either lamenting what is past and fearing what is coming. And that fear of that anxiety of what's coming prevents us from really experiencing a lot of life. But I'm proud of you. I mean, in some ways, I'm wondering if I'll recognize you when you get back from a month away. Because you've been kind of Hank, the steady guy, for your entire adult life.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so are you going to keep a journal on this trip? Have you thought about that at all?
That's not my kind of thing. I'll take a lot of pictures.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Are you gonna capture it at all on, a blog of some kind?
Possibly. I mean, maybe probably more just with Facebook updates, that kind of thing.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. I'm really excited for you because, people talk about the trip of a lifetime sort of thing and what that means to them and how it changes their life when they get back. And that trip of a lifetime tends to always be something that's going to happen way down the road, and you're making that happen now at a fairly young age for the trip of a lifetime. And hopefully it'll inspire many more. I'm happy for you, Hank.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So the reason I asked you is because today's show is going to be all about travel on many levels, not just the physical travel that we do, but the emotional and psychic travel that we do in our lives when it comes to going through therapy or going through changes and transitions. And I think that there's a tight connection between those two things, the physical act of traveling and the metaphorical act of traveling through our mind and through our psyche, and that both provide us opportunities for growth and expansion in ways that we, never expected or anticipated before. So because it's summer and it's peak traveling season, I mean, everywhere you go, there are people with racks on their cars and gear being hauled back and forth. I mean, it is definitely our peak travel time. And it's also peak travel photo posting time. And when I see people's photos or blogs or posts about the traveling that they're doing, I am always so curious about how and why people choose their different travel destinations. Like, what makes someone choose a transatlantic journey of a month or a road trip across the country or a destination resort vacation or a service vacation where you're working to help others. How do people choose those different experiences, and why do they go to the different places that they go? And how do people choose their preferred traveling methods? Are they hauling their entire life in an RV from place to place? Or are they just throwing on a backpack and seeing where life takes them? Are they going on group trips? How do people develop that? And then I'm drawn to, wondering how people choose the place. Is it because they want to meet new people? Is it the experiences they're going to have? Does the weather call to them? They need a warm climate because they've been in the cold for months. They want a colder climate because they've been in the warm. Are they drawn to different cultures? Are people traveling because they need to check or feel like they want to check a destination or an experience off, a box somewhere? Or are they continuing a tradition? Are they going back to that same place year after year after year, as kind of that comfort, the familiar, showing up and having that same experience? I can say that, for my family travel, for my own experience, it's been definitely rooted in the familiar. We travel back to the same place on the East Coast year after year after year, the same place where my parents were from, the same place that my father, the same house my dad went to every year as a child. I love that tradition of going back to this little town where the people haven't changed much over the years. It's an incredibly small town. And the people that are my age that I grew up with there, their grandparents knew my grandparents. And for my granddaughter, there are people there that knew her great-grandparents. And I love that community connection. But I also have a part of me that loves the road trip. Every year, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've taken off on extensive road trips around the country, and I've loved the expansiveness of that experience. So that's one of the things that inspired the show, is I'm really curious to know how people choose their vacation destination. The second thing that I was thinking about is, what do these travel experiences do for our mental health and well-being? Because there's a lot of research that supports the benefit of a yearly vacation, if not more, but definitely a yearly vacation. The United States has the lowest rate of yearly vacationers in the Western world, that we take the least amount of our vacation time. More Americans leave vacation time on the table than any other Western nation. And it's interesting because if you look at the mental health statistics of Americans, they also have the highest rate of anxiety and depression in the Western world, the highest rate of prescription medication use, and the highest rate of sense of dissatisfaction with their life and their job. Almost 70% of people polled say that they hate their job. And yet, less than 50% of people take their paid-for and allotted vacation every year. So how do those two things line up? We hate what we're doing, but we're not going to leave for the 2 weeks that we have to do something different, to kind of shake things up, to help our mental health and well-being. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to take a transatlantic journey of those 2 weeks. Just leaving that day-to-day routine of work has a lot of mental health benefits. So that also inspired the show. The other thing that kind of tied into the whole idea for the show this week was because, as I told you, I'm knee deep. I guess now I'm kind of waist deep in our home clearing and cleansing project that I talked about a couple weeks ago. And I've been thinking a lot about the traveling through life that we've done so far, my husband and I and my family. And as we clear out and cleanse and change up our life of the last 30 years in this home, where do we go from here? What are we making space for? Because it had gotten to a point, not that the house was physically packed with stuff, although my kids might say, yes, there's too much stuff in your house, but it wasn't just boxes and hoarders. It just was a lot of memories and things that we hadn't pulled out or used for years. But that kind of act of cleansing out and making spaces is a lot of letting go. I had mentioned that I was having the hardest time letting go of a badminton racket that I used when I was in high school because of the memories of what that held. And in all honesty, I haven't let the badminton racket go yet, but there's a lot of things we've cleared out, cabinets and cabinets. And there's this kind of this emotional relief that comes up with that and kind of the traveling back and thinking of the memories that all of these things have and now traveling forward. And so the final piece that kind of pulled today's show all together was this connection that I made between the interplay between travel as a metaphor and, you know, that travel as a metaphor for the therapeutic journey and the actual travel that we do as a prescription for improving our mental health. Because both the psychic travel and the physical travel have similarities. They take us out of our comfort zone. They help us shake off the cobwebs of our life and help us, you know, boost ourselves from a rut that we might be in. Both physical and metaphorical travel help to broaden our perspectives and our resilience. Both can include great challenges, annoyances, uncertainty, delays. They can also both bring us unexpected pleasure, growth, and exposure to new understandings about ourselves and our life and our relationships. And so I thought it'd be interesting today to talk about that interplay between travel as a metaphor for our psychic journeys, our therapeutic journeys, going through the process of sorting through our life, letting go of the things that are not helpful and gaining new perspectives and sense of reliance on new skills. And physical travel, what does this yearly tradition of letting go of our life as we know it, that day-to-day routine, and opening ourselves up to whatever it is that draws us to the beach, to the mountains, to hiking, to driving, to flying, to floating, relaxing, whatever it is. So I'll be opening up the phone lines today with a couple of questions on tap. The first one is, do you have any travels planned for the summer? And if you do, how and why did you choose your destination, your activity, or adventure? And do you change it up every year, or do you do a perennial favorite trip? And if you're feeling a bit esoteric about the subject like I am today, when was the last time you traveled through the story of your life looking for new insights and experiences and awareness? This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you can be part of the conversation by giving us a call at 805-781-3875. You can find me on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist, or on Instagram, EWBarrett_TRT. We just started posting, so my social media managers are going to keep us Instagram ready all summer. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com, and you can podcast our show through Apple Podcasts or NPR One or however you find your podcast. Search A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, hit subscribe, and our shows will be there for you to listen to at your convenience. So we're ready to do a little traveling today. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls. Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and that's the B-52s, getting in the mood to roam if you want to. And so what about this whole idea of travel? I'm just curious to know. It's the season of traveling. Where do you go? Do you go to the same place every year? Do you have any travel plans? How did you choose the place that you decided to visit? Is it a destination that you've wanted to see? Is it an activity that you wanted to do? Was it just an adventure that you wanted to take? Do you do something different every year? Or do you have a perennial favorite that you go to every year? And then I guess going back to what I mentioned statistically, are you one of the 50% of people who don't take a vacation at all, that you leave that vacation time on the table and just kind of work straight through? And if so, why is that? Why don't you take that vacation time? You know, it's interesting. Some people talk about an anxiety that comes over them when it comes to the idea of taking a vacation and the work that will pile up, or leaving the comfort of their home, or setting out into the unknown, that there's a lot of anxiety that people can experience when it comes to changing up their routine day to day. But ironically, one of the things that really impacts our mental health and well-being is getting kind of settled into a routine that can become a rut, that can become too comfortable, that can start to impact our creativity, can start to negatively impact our interpersonal relationships, can also impact our sense of well-being when it comes to work. And so although it feels comfortable to do the same thing day in and day out, binge watch your shows, go to the same job, exercise on the same treadmill, come home and have the same food, that routine that we kind of crave, I just want to get into my routine, can end up being something that really prevents us from growing individually, but even more so, it can cause great stress on our emotional well-being. It can cause declines in our mental health. And so that thing that we so desire, that comfort, needs to be changed up a bit in order to help us stay healthy. So in some ways it might be counterintuitive. Why would I shake up my routine when this feels so good? Because the feeling so good actually starts to not be so good for us. And so our number is 805-781-3875. And we have musical chairs happening in the studio today. Tyler's out sick, and Hank jumped in to say hello, and Carol's now at the helm. Hi, Carol.
Hello, hello.
So we talked briefly about travel, but I didn't get a chance to ask you, are you a travel person? Are you a vacation person? What is your style?
You know, I enjoy travel, and it's funny how you just said, you know, you want to get out of your routine. And I realized that when I travel, I like to go to Italy, I'll just say. We lived there for a year when my daughter was a freshman in high school. But I like to go back to the same place and have a routine. Isn't that crazy?
No, I actually get it, because I am pretty habituated in my vacation activities as well.
But it's a different routine.
Yes.
And I'm a different person over there. Or I think I am. I'm probably not. I ride a bike everywhere, and I've thought, I must look like an Italian woman. I'm riding my bike in high heels, you know, which I'm sure I don't, but I feel like I am.
Well, and I think that's really all it is that change of perspective for ourselves and our own constructed reality and what we create that makes us feel alive and connected. And it's interesting, when my girls were little, because we do kind of the same family trip to the East Coast every year. And I used to say it's the same job. I have two girls that I'm in charge of 24/7, just in a different location.
Right, right. You're still cooking. They still come to you when they need something. Yes.
Yeah, so I just that change of venue in some ways can help.
But that continuity that you have with your family, that is fascinating.
Yeah, years and generations of people. And it's interesting, because my husband doesn't have that history. I mean, he didn't grow up doing that. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've been together 38 years now, so it's become part of his history. But early on, he would say, you know, I'm not going to do this every summer, just because this is what your family does. I'm not going to do this. And then, you know, each summer it would happen. But we also try to fit in other, you know, we're camping family and lots of road trip family.
I think a lot of people, though, who have, you know, more of the really stressful jobs where they're indoors, and I understand the feeling of, I just want to go to a beach, find somewhere tropical or otherwise, and have somebody, you know, hand me a Mai Tai while I relax. I get that too.
I do. And there, and I always wonder, you know, what is the thing that we're trying to accomplish? We're just getting, if we're hating the place we're at, and I just want to trade in my day-to-day stressful job to just go lie on a beach and do nothing, the other thing, and now I'm going to sound like I'm raining on the whole idea of vacations, but the another interesting phenomenon is that people who tend to do straight relaxation vacations, I'm just going to go do nothing, tend to have a harder time readjusting coming back to the day-to-day. It feels much more like a, oh, and here I am again, or, oh,
yeah,
it like I didn't get anywhere, I didn't go anywhere. That just that act of going and sitting on the beach doesn't have the same revitalizing pieces to it for our mental health as actually doing something that has a mental component to it, whether it's touring a museum or, you know, learning something new or learning a new skill, something that kind of expands and expands our cognitive flexibility.
Yeah, yeah. It's like vacationing, but keeping your motor running.
Right,
you know,
right.
But doing something different.
Exactly. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of the conversation today. I'm wondering if you have any travel planned. If you do, how did you choose this place you wanted to go? Is it a destination or an activity or an adventure? Do you change it up every year? What does it do for your mental health and well-being, these trips that you take, this travel that you plan? And the other side of it, of the question is, if you do no traveling or take any vacation time, why not? And what prevents you from taking those trips? You know, when I was thinking about putting the show together, I was thinking about, you know, what are those benefits of travel and what it does for mental health? And the thing that kept coming up, which I found fascinating, was the idea of neuroplasticity, and that when we travel, it helps to kind of open up our brain waves, open up those neurons, expand our cognitive flexibility, was a term I used before, and help to kind of reshape our thinking or re-energize our pleasure center of our brains, which in turn increases our creativity. And then creativity leads to kind of this relief in our stress, a more openness to activities in our lives. It expands and heightens our interpersonal relationships. And so just the mere act of going someplace different, taking on the challenge of traveling, flying, biking, walking, however you get there, you know, not knowing the destination, having to navigate new terrains, having to navigate new relationships, new people, learning something new, all of those things help our neuroplasticity, which helps our brain to function more effectively, which also can help us as we age to stay vibrant and young and resilient and healthy. That sometimes that routine of doing the same thing every day in the same way, we get so adapted to it. They call it hedonic adaptation. That hedonic adaptation really is not our friend, because we start to get kind of frozen in our brain, in our activities, in our space, and it starts to work against us. So what does that travel look like for you? 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Margie, you're on the air. What's on your mind? Hi there.
Hi, Elizabeth. Another perspective on traveling. I am almost 80 years old. I have traveled a lot. I mean, all over the place, Turkey, Japan, Scandinavia, just traveled a lot, but always with my partner, my husband, and almost always then. And I feel like I'm done with that travel. I feel like I'm done. I've seen so much, experienced, been out of my comfort zone, particularly when we lived in Japan, because everything was in kanji and I never knew where I was. But I think that there are times, and I might move beyond this, there are times when you just don't want to go through the hassle, I guess it is. And I don't feel like I'm moldering away, because I do a lot of things here, but that's That's my perspective on it anyway, or my position.
I like that, your belief, your feelings about it. I appreciate that, because that's why when I was kind of introducing the topic today, I was looking at that connection, the interplay between travel that we do physically, getting out of our house, packing a suitcase, going somewhere, but also that travel we do metaphorically, you know, in our minds, psychically, whether it's learning a new skill or reading a book,
yeah.
which, right,
yeah.
or meeting a new person, you know, the importance of kind of continuing that traveling and expanding our awareness and perspectives that continues to help our cognitive flexibility. We don't have to, you know, jump on a plane to travel.
Well, I feel sad, Elizabeth, in one particular way. My youngest granddaughter is 14 years old, and her family, especially this summer, cannot afford any travel at all. And last summer, I took her and her friend and her mother to Maui, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. This summer, I know how much she would like to travel and how good it would be for her. But, and this is just, I'm not going to go off on this, but I had a minor stroke, and I don't know whether I could be the adult that takes care of things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
And, you know, the irony is that she's the teenager that could.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she said to me the other day, where are we going to go this summer, Grandma? And I thought, Oh, excuse me. I'm just not able to do that anymore. I do other things, lots of other things, with her and with my other grandchildren, but it's kind of the end of the travel line, I think. And I just wonder if there's other people out there who are feeling the same way.
I'm glad you brought that up. And, you know, just I hear a little bit in your voice, Margie, that there's part of you that feels a little uncertain about the travel at this point while you're kind of growing your health again and kind of getting your confidence back that you're going to be fine and moving forward. I would imagine that having a stroke of any kind, minor or not, would throw off our sense of confidence and going out in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're saying that brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just a whole different view of myself.
Yeah.
As Superwoman who mm-hmm. could do anything. But I think there are other people. I have a very good friend who has traveled all over the world, and she had breast cancer and had a mastectomy. And within 2 or 3 months afterwards, she decided that she was going to hike the Swedish Alps.
Mm-hmm.
She just did everything. And now she says, and she just turned 70, she said, I don't want to go anyplace. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
And I think that we definitely go through those periods of time, too. And, Margie, I just want to honor, one, I love that you call and share your story. So, honestly, I appreciate that so much in you. But, two, I think you're in a moment of kind of reestablishing your Wonder Woman-ness, your Superwoman-ness in your family. And I think it'd be fabulous for your 14-year-old to come be with you and travel with you without leaving the home in a different way.
We do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to call. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. What is the role of travel in your life, metaphorically, physically? Do you do it? Where do you go? How do you choose where to go? Sarah, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks so much for a really interesting topic. We were just discussing this this past weekend as we're planning our summer vacation up to Alaska.
Oh, wonderful.
Exciting. But every year we find ourselves choosing to visit our friends that live in other wonderful places, and that's brought us to beautiful parts of America and Europe and South America. But we were discussing the ways in which we, you know, always tend towards visiting places where we have friends, and how important it is to us not only to have that local perspective, but how much we value the chance to reconnect and rekindle our friendships with friends from other times in our lives. At these times of our lives, to see them and their families, to explore the places that they love, and to really make that deeper connection, not only to a place, but to the people that we love. And so that's something that I just wanted to add to the conversation that I think you were talking about it in terms of your family. For us, it's really our family of friends, mm-hmm. And how much we deeply value that opportunity to go all over to see friends and to explore where their landscapes and their lives.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. And I'm wondering, you know, that interpersonal connection that you have with your friends, how that impacts your mental health and well-being when you come back from these trips. You know, do you notice how you feel when you come back?
That's an interesting question. I would say I think we feel even more moved by the experience. And I would say that I think that comes on multiple levels. I think that's because, number one, it does relieve, I think, something you also touched on earlier, the stress of having to plan a vacation and having to be in a new environment. It helps so much to be somewhere where you have someone who can guide you. I mean, you know, Alaska is a very, can be a rather intimidating trip to try to plan from afar, but we actually are going with very little planning because we have a friend who has essentially said, don't worry, I'm on top of it. Mm-hmm. And that's not just Alaska. I mean, that happened to us in Costa Rica. It happened to us in Montana, in Wyoming. You know, all these places we love to go. And I think it allows us to feel less stress about planning the trip and executing the trip. But it also gives us, always come back feeling not only that we love to see our friends, but feeling loved by them. Mm-hmm. And I think they feel, I hope that they feel and know how much they are loved by us mm-hmm. for sharing their lives with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that really does give us more to work with as we come back to the deluge of emails and the stress of having to come back to work. We didn't just go somewhere. We got to be part of our friends' lives and reconnect to them. And that really helps us when we wonder, oh, can we really afford the time? The answer is always yes, because it's not just the time. It's not just the place. It's also the people.
I agree. And as you were talking, I was thinking also about the importance of, you know, keeping our interpersonal relationships new and fresh and reinvigorated and, you know, making new memories and having new experiences with our friends and with our family. It helps to keep our emotional connections healthy, that we have to, you know, develop these experiences or go on these experiences, have these new memories so that we come home, we can relive that in our mind, and that keeps those relationships feeling fresh and new and connected.
Elizabeth, I think that's such a great point, especially as, you know, these are people that we might have known in our younger years, and for them to meet our daughter, for them to, you know, for us to meet their children, or for us to be able to talk about our families that they knew back then, or what's happened since, it really does allow us to feel still connected to them instead of it just being old friends. You know, they are our friends. And it also has allowed me to have a much deeper connection to my husband's friends and him to mine, as we've, you know, we've been together 20 plus years, but we're close, very close with both of our friends from before we were married, because we've both tried to include them in our married and family life.
Beautifully said. Sarah, thank you for taking the time to call, and enjoy your travels to Alaska.
Thank you for the show. Have a great summer.
You too. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. We're talking about travel and what it does for our mental health and well-being. How is it that we choose the places that we go? Do we choose a destination that's familiar? Do we go someplace different every year? How does this help our family connections, our mental health? And if we're not traveling, why not? What keeps us from leaving home? And then kind of that interplay between our mental health when it comes to actual traveling, expanding our horizons, getting out of our comfort zone, seeing new things, developing resilience, taking on challenges, but then also the metaphorical travel that we do when we work on our mental mental health and well-being, when we look back over our lives, when we go through the travel of psychotherapy, maybe you're not taking a journey physically anywhere out of your comfort zone, but you might be spending the summer doing an internal travel, some internal exploration, kind of what I feel like I'm going through, cleansing out our house and clearing out our home after 30 years and kind of recreating it and re-envisioning it for our life moving forward. And I feel like I'm doing a lot of metaphorical and metaphysical and spiritual and psychological traveling this summer. I feel as tired as I would be if I were getting up every day and packing a suitcase and going. So there must be some sort of psychic travel that's happening. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back in a moment to continue the conversation and to take your calls. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we're talking about traveling, any way that we are taking off for the summer. You know, as I said at the top of the show, I love this time of year when people are posting all of their traveling photos and the different adventures that they're going on. And when I'm looking at the pictures, I'm always curious about a couple of things. One, about how and why they chose to go to the places they did. But I also am always curious to know, how well did that travel go for you? Because I don't know about you, but my experience traveling has the ups and downs of life, where there's moments of sheer exuberance and everything is wonderful and so excited about what's happening. And then other parts of it are just sheer misery, missed connections or feeling tired or something didn't sit well with you or the accommodations are bad. That travel is a bit of our life condensed down into a week or 2 weeks or however long that we're gone, and it's all heightened where you're just in moment to moment can be in sheer ecstasy. This is the greatest thing ever. And then sheer misery. Oh my gosh, the weather's horrible. Why did we choose this place? To sheer happiness again. Wow, I never thought I'd experience this. Like, think of your vacation as cramming every emotion that you have over the course of your life into this compact period of time. And there's a lot of expectations that we have on travel, especially if it's something like Hank was talking about earlier, this trip of a lifetime, taking a month off. There's a lot of heightened hope and anticipation of what this is going to be, and can it ever live up to that? And maybe it will. And then for other experiences, maybe it's just a weekend trip up the coast or visiting friends, you know, something like that can have profound impacts in our life. You might meet your soulmate or the most exciting person you've ever met just in a random weekend getaway. And then we talk a lot about, you know, travel and vacations. I think when people think of travel, they think of, you know, going to Europe or Costa Rica or, you know, all of these exotic places. But we can have the exact same experience of travel, that sense of awe or improvements in our mental health or the opportunity to embrace new ways of seeing the world or lifestyles or experiences just by traveling an hour away from home or into, you know, another neighborhood. I mean, we are surrounded by thousands of different perspectives. I don't know what word, millions of different perspectives. I mean, in our own communities, in our own neighborhoods. And I think we can really get caught in a very kind of stagnant way of being in our lives, driving the same way to work, having the same breakfast, having the same workout routine. You know, as I mentioned earlier, that there's a comfort in that routine, but it also can can cause us to start to feel stale or to feel a little stuck. Or you might be having physical pains that you notice more than you did before, or you might be feeling more anxious than you were before, or you might feel this sense of kind of depression or mood disorder creeping up. And why is this happening? You know, why am I feeling out of sorts? And it can be your psyche or your soul or your spirit or your breath, however you want to define it, saying to you, I need to move. I need to shake off the routine and do something else. And if we don't consciously shake up our routine, do things in a different way, our psyche, our spirit, our breath, our soul will find ways to let us know until we are forced to make some sort of change. You know, first it's that itch. Oh, I kind of want to see something new. Oh, I kind of want to experience something new. And if you jump on that, then you start to feel enlivened and excited about life in new ways. But if you ignore that itch and just say, I don't have time for you, I need to work, or I don't want to get out of my routine, I don't want to be uncomfortable, then you might notice, you know, that you start to feel a little sluggish when you get up in the morning, or those things that used to be really fun, that special cup of coffee or that, you know, Zumba class or whatever that was, your weekly Bunko experience doesn't have the same impact. It's like, it's just not really doing it for me. I don't know why I'm feeling a little down. Maybe I need to shake up my routine. But if you ignore that message, then we start noticing things like chronic backache, or my shoulders are stiff, or my stomach's in a knot. You know, there is that way we somaticize our emotional experience through our physical experience. And if we continue to ignore that, we can find ourselves really knotted up. And then people finally say, oh gosh, I couldn't take it anymore, so I booked a trip, or I went and got a massage, or I did a weekend getaway, or I went on a walkabout just camping for the weekend. And I can't believe that once I got out on the road, or once I went to this new experience, how my back loosened up, or I didn't have headaches, or my allergies subsided. How could that be? And it's because your spirit, your psyche, your breath finally got out and things got moving. And so that's what I'm talking about when I think about travel and what it does for our mental health and well-being, that the physical travel helps us get out of our day-to-day and open up the world in different ways. It also helps us to improve our interpersonal relationships, that experience of being in a new place with someone that we love in new ways can change the way we view each other. It can also be a wonderful challenge for problem solving and conflict resolution. You know, nothing is better for the well-being of a family than getting everyone in a car or everyone in a place and having to problem solve together. You know, I don't know about your family trips, but whenever we go someplace, not everyone's needs are being met at the same time. And so how do we learn to compromise together as a family? How do we learn to be empathic for everyone else? How do we learn to change up our day-to-day in such a way that everyone gets their needs met? There's a lot of personal and emotional growth that goes on with travel. And those experiences outside of our home can translate back into what we do in our day-to-day. Let's say you've gotten yourself in kind of this routine or this rut of doing the same thing in the same way every day, and then you take that dream trip to Costa Rica, or you go backpacking for a week up the Pacific Crest Trail, or whatever it is you choose to do to just blow up your routine. That openness that you feel inside of yourself after you've accomplished something that you didn't think you could do, you can bring that back to work and into your day-to-day life, and then help to maintain kind of that high energy in your life when you get back. So instead of taking the same Zumba class, maybe you take a Zumba class and then you add in something different. Or instead of having the same cup of coffee from the same place every day, you try a different place. And it's amazing how just those little tiny changes in routine fire our neurons in such a way, increase our creativity, increase our sense of feeling alive and awake. You know, it's amazing how much we can do in our life and be completely unaware, like drive to work, work through half the day, eat our lunch, and not even be aware that we were doing those things. But when you change it up just a little, going to a different restaurant or driving a different way to work, your senses are heightened again. Oh, I don't usually go this way. I need to pay attention to what's going on in the scenery. Or, oh, I don't usually eat here. I wonder what's on the restaurant, as in on the menu. As silly as that seems, all of those little changes in our day-to-day help keep our brain and our neurons firing in a way that helps our mental health. So I digress away from travel a little bit, but I think they're all connected, this whole idea of travel in any form. So I'm just curious to know how it impacts you. Are you traveling this summer? Is there any place that you've looked forward to going that you haven't let yourself go yet, or you're planning to go soon? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And remember, you have to dial 805 now. I don't know about you, but that has been a change in my life, a subtle annoyance to have to re-enter all of the phone numbers at 805-781-3875. So, Carol, is this something that you think about on when you're choosing your family vacation? Do you think about, will everybody get to do what they want to do? Is there one person in your family that makes the travel plan, or do you do a vote? How do you decide?
It's been different for different trips. I remember when our son was a teenager, well, he didn't want to go anywhere, but then he said, well, if we go to Costa Rica, that would be good. So that year we all said, great, we're going to Costa Rica, because he was a teenager and he was just kind of,
I think there is that part, like, how do we keep our kids engaged as they grow up, and how do we change a little bit what we do as a family? I kind of love the idea of having the destination chosen, however it's chosen, but everyone gets to have like a day or an activity that they plan and take responsibility for, so that you can spread out the responsibility. Maybe the plan doesn't go well, or it does go well, because the traveling piece is another part of that parenting growing thing that we're offering for our children. We want them to feel curious about life and the things they're experiencing. We want our children to have confidence to go out and try new things. And so what better ways to try these skills out than to be responsible for family activities on a short trip or a long trip, or however you do that? 805-781-3875 is our number. Hi, Liz, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to talk about programs with your grandchildren.
Okay.
I have almost great grandchildren soon, but I have had wonderful trips through a program called Road Scholar.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be called Elder Hostel, and they have intergenerational programs, which are just grandparents and their grandchildren, and they are designated as to age. Whether they are slow moving, very fast. So if you've had a stroke or problems like I have, now that I'm 79 and I can't do all that I used to do, but they have these elder intergenerational, and it's wonderful to go away with just your grandchild, no parents. And they make friends with other grandchildren, and you make friends with the grandparents. And the programs range from very active to fairly sedentary. And I went to one program in Southern California called CSI Learn the Real Forensics,
mm-hmm.
like that program CSI on TV.
Yes.
And they actually did forensic things and learned how to do them. And my older, you had to be, in this one, 13 years old to go to it. My older granddaughter just raved about it and raved about it. And the April that my younger daughter turned, granddaughter turned 13, she says, Grandma, you do know I'm 13 this summer. And I knew exactly what she wanted to do. So I would recommend, if someone is interested in going on a very diverse kind of program with just your grandchild than you investigate Rhodes Scholar or even the old-fashioned name of Elder Hostel.
Liz, thank you so much, because I think for a lot of people, one of the barriers from doing anything is not knowing quite where to start the adventure. So Rhodes Scholar, I love that. And I am glad that you found this way of connecting with your kids, and congratulations on becoming a great grandmother very soon. Thank you for calling. You know, and there is kind of this beautiful connection between grandparents and their grandchildren, because you're finally at a place where you might have a little extra money and some extra time, and you can take your, you know, grandchild out and do things that you might not have been able to do with your own children because you're busy raising them and don't have any extra time or money. So you do it with the grandchildren. My husband and I talk a lot about things we'd love to do with Georgia. She gets a little older. We call it Nana and Gusty Camp. Have her come down and all the places just even here, you know, where we live, that we can keep her busy for days on end. And then it gives us an excuse to explore different places right here in our backyard, but also being able to take a road trip or camping trip and share with her the different, you know, places that we love. I think grandchildren are a wonderful excuse to keep on moving forward. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. And we're talking a little bit about the mental health benefits of travel, the importance of getting out of our day-to-day. I had mentioned before that, you know, when we get into the routine of our life, we, no matter who we are, no matter how great our life is, no matter how wonderful things are, we all fall prey to hedonic adaptation. It's just a part of the way the psyche operates, that no matter how good something may be, something that happens in our life, and conversely, no matter how bad something can be in our life, our psyche is able to start to normalize that experience. So you could win the lottery, and this is kind of where one of the studies came from, that they looked at people who had won the lottery and had the opportunity to do whatever they wanted in their life, but they found that no matter how wonderful that lottery experience was, over a period of time, every one of the winners regressed or reverted back to what their set point was for their psychological state. Because we all kind of have a set point. We're either, you know, generally really happy people. Some people have a lower set point of a little more ennui or even depression, that we kind of have a temperament style. And so that's part of the hedonic adaptation, that you can marry the most phenomenal person and live in the greatest place, but at some point it becomes routine and you know it and you get adapted to it. And so then you need new and different experiences to kind of keep that pleasure center operating in our mind. Some people think that that means, you know, more exotic travel or needing to spend more money, or it can lead into kind of addictive behaviors like gambling and sex. But it doesn't take a lot to break that hedonic adaptation. As I mentioned before, it's variety is the key. Just little simple things that we do that change up our life. And that's where travel can be a part of it. Traveling simply a different road every day in your own backyard can be enough to break that hedonic adaptation. But also, aside from variety and needing to do things a little differently, eat different food, sleep in different places in the house. I mean, that's one of the funny things that I loved in the suggestions on how to keep the variety in life, is that instead of just always sleeping in your bedroom, even though we create these kind of nest places that we look forward to each night, it can become a little too routine. So to sleep out in the backyard, or to take sleeping bags and sleep in the living room. If you sleep in different places in your house while you're resting, you're also having this kind of different internal experience. You're a little more on edge, or you have different dreams, or the sounds are different in different places in your house. And so that, and that alone can be enough variety to help us break any rutted behaviors that we might be in. And then the other part of breaking hedonic adaptation is appreciation and gratitude. Because we talk a lot about searching for happiness. People say, I just want to be happy. I need to find that next thing that makes me happy. I need to find my passion. We spend a lot of time talking about that. But what they found is that people don't spend much time hanging on to the things that give them joy. They, you know, we talk about moments of gratitude or writing down those things we have gratitude for. But when they looked at how much time people actually spent appreciating where they were, it was very, very little. That we spent more time, and Hank talked about at the beginning of the show, we think about what's coming up, instead of really spending time focused on what is good in this moment, or where are the things that are going well for us, and how do we hang on to the well-being that we have instead of always looking for the next thing, the new shiny object. So those are a couple of the tricks and tips for kind of breaking up the day-to-day and improving our mental health. And then if you can't afford to travel or take a big trip or go on an adventure, there is that travel you can do in your own mind through reading. You know, we talk a lot about binge watching shows. Are you a binge watcher of any kind? A little bit. Have some favorite shows on Netflix or Hulu. There's too many things. Actually, I feel a little overwhelmed by all of the things that I could be watching. But what's interesting is that watching something is a passive experience, whereas reading or listening to an audiobook is an active experience, that it fires our brains and our neuron and our neural passageways in different ways than watching does. And that it's a very important difference in our, again, mental health and well-being, and how we alleviate anxiety or alleviate stress or kind of get out of our day-to-day and our routine, that even if you're watching a variety of television shows, it doesn't have the same positive impact as reading a book or reading a magazine or listening to an audiobook, because it activates different parts of the brain that takes us out of our day-to-day, that takes us into this different world, that helps us to grow our expansive experiences, to, you know, help us see different perspectives and grow empathy in ways that passively watching doesn't do. And so if you can't travel out of your home or out of your space, you can do a lot of traveling by virtue of using books and audiobooks to open your mind to new opportunities. So that's my traveling ideas for today. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this has been a conversation with The Reluctant Therapist. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can join us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. Find us on Instagram, EWBarrett_TRT. You can send me an email to Elizabeth@TheReluctantTherapist.com or listen to previous shows at kcbx.org or podcasts through Apple Podcasts. As always, I appreciate you being a part of the conversation, appreciate you being part of the community, and I look forward to continuing our conversation next week at the same time, Tuesday at 2:00.